This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Speaking of sports champions, Brian Wheeler is live in studio and the proud papa of a member of the Western Albemarle girls lacrosse team. Right? I have that right?
You got that right, Coy.
Unbelievable.
State champions.
They're the state champions. Western Albemarle girls lacrosse, the best team in the state.
You're always so good about asking how my kids are doing, and both Sam and Abby play lacrosse. But Abby's lacrosse career ended on a very high note as she and the Western Albemarle Warriors won their first ever state championship for Western Albemarle.
That is unbelievable. And it doesn't get any better than that. If you're a high school kid and you're the state champions,
it's great.
They'll be sitting around the hair salon years from now talking about that.
So congratulations to all the girls, to their coaches. They did a great job this season.
Absolutely.
And they had to go up and face three Northern Virginia teams in the state tournament to win it.
Yeah, where they have really good teams, club, lacrosse. You know, it's really, really big in Northern Virginia.
Well, put it this way. Every previous champion, since they combined the AA and AAA districts, AAAs are the big high schools, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So they have a much bigger pool of talent to recruit from, right?
Good point.
So AAA teams are hard to play against. You know, Albemarle High School here locally is AAA. Western Albemarle is AA. So when they combined the championship in 2006, every winner has been from Fairfax County.
Oh my God. You have huge, huge schools.
So this is the first time since they combined the championship that the winner has been a AA school from outside of Fairfax County.
And it was right here in Albemarle County.
Right here.
That is fantastic.
Crozet, Virginia.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really great.
So,
well, congratulations to all the girls and the coaches and all the people out there at Western Albemarle who made that happen. When was this?
This was Saturday. Saturday evening.
Just a couple days ago.
Just happened. I still have goosebumps, Coy, watching Abby, you know,
Where was the game? Where were you?
We were at Westview High School up in Chantilly.
Okay.
And Abby had the thrill of holding the ball as the clock ran out. She got to throw the ball and her stick in the air. The Washington Post has this great picture of her and Ellen Chaffrey, another member of the team who actually, Ellen scored the winning goal. And the two of them are hugging in midair with both of their sticks floating nearby. So the Washington Post photographers did a great job.
That's
but
fantastic.
It didn't get a lot of attention. And it's funny. The story in the Washington Post is totally focused on W.T. Woodson, the team they beat, and just talking about how Woodson, you know, went through the game. And it hardly says anything
about the
winner. Because I think it just didn't register up there. You
know, still in shock.
How on earth could a team from Charlottesville win this thing?
Wow. So that's fantastic. I'm speechless. That is just fantastic.
It was fun.
So let us turn our attention, shall we, to a little growth and development news. The big news, of course, over the last few days, reported by Charlottesville Tomorrow online at cvilletomorrow.org, is that VDOT is getting involved in the future of 29 North.
They're
playing their cards here.
They are. Well, they've been involved since the beginning. In 2005, the Places 29 master plan process got underway, Coy, and that's the 20-year vision for what our community wants to have happen in the 29 North corridor. VDOT got involved early and said, hey, we want to be a part of the transportation discussion. We want to help you look at the data. We're going to run some, you know, data in our models for you and help make recommendations. And in fact, it was VDOT staff, when this first started coming forward in public meetings, VDOT staff were making the presentations, to the elected bodies and the planning commission here in town. And so they've been very involved from the beginning. But what's kind of interesting, Coy, is the business community has reacted rather sharply to the notion that you would do grade separation. And let me explain what that is, because my brother-in-law said he was having a little trouble wrapping his head around that concept. But basically, the idea is you would lower Route 29 so that roads like Hydraulic and Rio would pass over 29. There would no longer be a stoplight.
Would they lower the road or they just raise Hydraulic and Rio?
Well,
in
both of those cases, you'd pretty much lower 29 and you would take advantage of the grade because they're both sort of on hills, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So it would be harder to go higher at that point. So it's easier to just lower.
So you
lower
just build a tunnel beneath Hydraulic and a tunnel beneath Rio. Sort
of. Yeah, it wouldn't really be a tunnel. It wouldn't be a lights out kind of
tunnel.
Yeah,
you'd grade it down. It's like they did in you know, a little history. In 1901, they did it on University Avenue at the corner. They sort of lowered the road to go underneath the railroad tracks.
Okay.
So that's where we got that railroad trestle, right, because that was originally a graded crossing. But
yep,
they decided to lower the road there and go underneath the tracks.
And of course, these interchanges would be a little bigger than that one and potentially, you know, impact businesses on the corners of Hydraulic and Rio. And the business community is concerned that this would become more of an expressway, as they describe it, rather than a main street, which is what they want. They want 29 to be Albemarle County's main street and not an expressway. Of course, the Charlottesville Regional Chamber of Commerce has always favored a western bypass to Route 29. They would say, don't do grade separation, instead build the western bypass. That's a topic for a whole nother day.
But for as far as VDOT is concerned, Route 29 is a highway. It's not Charlottesville's main street.
VDOT has basically given up on the western bypass. It is still in the plans, long-term plans, only because they own property that was in play to build it. But nobody thinks that road's going to be built that's in the Commonwealth Transportation Board or on VDOT. So VDOT came forward last week through county staff and said, they responded to this question, which the planning staff knew was going to happen because members of the Board of Supervisors have said they are opposed to grade separation. So county staff popped that question to VDOT and said, what would you do if our elected officials took grade separation out of our 20-year plan and just left 29 alone? And the response from VDOT was, your plan will no longer be in compliance with the law.
Ooh, wow.
Because so they said they were
involved. VDOT throwing their weight around.
They were involved in coming up with the modeling and determining that even if you wanted to build a western bypass and you had money to do that, and that we're talking $250, $300 million.
Yeah, they don't have that.
And that's on the old route that ends, you know, right near the DoubleTree Hotel. So below a lot of the growth that's happened up 29 North. But even if you built the Western Bypass, VDOT says you would still have to fix 29. 29 will start failing for local traffic because most of the traffic on 29, it turns out, according to the data, is local.
Yeah.
It's only about 12% that wants to drive through Charlottesville and keep on trucking north or south. So VDOT, you know, through the county staff said, you know, be careful because that may take this plan out of compliance with Virginia law. There's something called the 527 process. And Coy, you and I talked about that a while back. I don't know if you'll remember, but
Nothing about no 527.
Well, we didn't call it that at the time.
Oh, what did we call it?
Well, this was, up in Loudoun County, there was a proposal that VDOT was looking at near the Dulles Airport, and it was like 28,000 homes. I mean, this was a massive development.
Holy cow.
VDOT used that development as a pilot in 2006 to sort of pilot this new legislation that was going through the General Assembly. And basically, they said, if you're going to plan new development, we need to look at the transportation impacts before we sign off on your local plans. And at that time, VDOT said, you know, it would take hundreds of millions of dollars of road funding to address the transportation impacts. Now, that's a huge development.
Yeah.
But even down here in Charlottesville, they're saying before you plan for the future of 29 North, we need to weigh in on the transportation plan. And according to our analysis, this is VDOT, grade separation is key to the future
of
29.
This is huge news. And let's just reiterate what's happening here. VDOT is coming in and telling Albemarle County, I know your political winds are blowing in such a way that there would be no overpasses on Route 29, or call them what you want, overpasses or tunnels or whatever. And VDOT's saying, no, we're not going to accept that. You want to plan the future of 29 North, it is going to have overpasses.
And yeah, generally that's what they're saying. Now, our elected officials are saying, who do they think they are? They're not even bringing any money to the table, you know, to build these things.
Yeah.
So why are we going to listen to them?
Right.
So it's going to be an interesting debate.
Well, and answer that question for us. Why do they have to listen to them?
I mean,
because VDOT's saying, well, you're out of compliance with the law. What exactly are they referring to?
Well, they're referring to legislation passed in 2006, which said VDOT had to give sign-off for major land use planning exercises like Places 29.
There it is then.
So there is some legal basis for their argument. How strongly they will push that in the absence of any money to actually build anything, you know, remains to be seen. The other thing, Coy, that's going to happen soon, Butch Davies, longtime member of the Commonwealth Transportation Board representing Culpeper District, his term is up at the end of June. There will be a new appointment made by the Republican governor of Virginia. And various members of the Board of Supervisors have told us they are recommending one or two people that they want to have on the Commonwealth Transportation Board. That person may have a different view of things like grade separation and the Western Bypass.
Yeah, but their problem's not with the Transportation Board, it's with VDOT.
Correct.
And can McDonnell appoint somebody who's going to go against his own appointee, head of you know, transportation, Sean Connaughton and VDOT? And
well, I would think if the governor gave direction to the Secretary of Transportation and had support on the Commonwealth Transportation Board, you know, attitudes could change. So we'll see what happens.
I, for one, and folks know this, I, for one, support the overpasses on 29. I just don't see how you plan the future of 29. I agree with VDOT in this case. How do you plan the future of that road without grade separate interchanges? So you're saying you can do it with stoplights? That's insane. I mean, we're going to have just stoplights there 50 years from now? When traffic is backing up for miles and miles? And
you know, some people that are doing commercial development like that prospect of having cars crawling by their stores, and they hope that they will pull into their
bingo
shopping centers.
And that's really what it's about from the business perspective. They like the traffic. Traffic is good for business.
But in general, I think the public, and even the public down in Lynchburg, you know, want 29 to work in Charlottesville.
Yeah.
And they don't want, you know, business leaders in the community, some of them also would say they want people to feel like they can go shop on 29 and not have it be a burden, right? Because you often hear people, oh, I don't want to go up 29 North to get to X business if I could go somewhere else. And so I think it's in the interest of the community to get 29 working. And what VDOT is saying is part of getting 29 working is not only adding lanes in certain places, like that stretch in front of Forest Lakes between Hollymead Town Center and the river, adding another turn lane in front of the Best Buy. That'll take out two of the big bottlenecks. And then
True.
You add grade separation. That's the recipe VDOT is advocating to fix 29.
Can you just imagine how well 29 would flow if we had just the things that you're talking about? Well, had the grade separate interchanges, had the more lanes, the new turning lane in front of Best Buy so you could get on the bypass going south. It would be unbelievable.
And those projects to widen 29 and increase the lane coverage in front of Best Buy are broadly supported, and they're trying to get the rest of the money they need to fund those things. They're trying to get Congressman Perriello to help out with the federal earmark on the 29 North piece. So those are elements of Places 29 that are not really controversial.
Right. It's
debated.
The grade separated interchange. That's a big one.
Yeah.
How do they put that new turning lane in front of Best Buy? What are they going to do?
Well, they would.
Do they widen into the median to do that, or do they widen into the sidewalk?
I expect they will take some of the parking lot at Best Buy to do that. And then the real interesting thing, Coy, would be that lane would continue as you get on the bypass. It would continue to the Barracks Road exit. So you know where that weaving takes place and people are going crazily trying to get from the left side to exit at Barracks Road. That should be helped by some of that. It's going to involve some backyard taking of land
in some cases. Talking about widening the bypass as well.
The bypass would have to be widened by a lane. They've got a little bit of median to work from, so I'm not sure where the compromise is. And then up between Hydraulic and Best Buy, they would take advantage of the median there because, you know, there are restaurants and hotels right up against the road there.
That turning onto the bypass there from Best Buy, in front of Best Buy, that's where people never merge. You know, they never yield, I should say. They just come right up like they had the right of way.
Yeah. Well, they'd get another lane to do that.
They would have another lane. We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville tomorrow. Chris is on the line in Earliesville, beautiful Earliesville. Chris, how you doing today?
I'm doing great and looking forward to seeing those Hoos win tonight.
Absolutely. Tonight is the night, and I got a good feeling. Go right ahead. You're on the program. Go right ahead.
All right. My question is, I'm one of the comments about the business community, and that I guess at least in the, I guess it's the Chamber of Commerce that seems to be one to keep traffic going as slowly as possible on 29. But is there any sense of, is that the entire business community? Because I would think maybe some downtown and different areas want to have 29, as you said, to have it work so that they get people moving from one part of the community to the other. Or is it pretty much across the board, you know, the entire, quote, business community wants to keep things kind of status quo?
Well, good question.
Very good question.
And yeah. I don't think you can say entire about, you know, any group of thinkers out there.
But he's right that the Chamber has said.
The Chamber of Commerce and the North Charlottesville Business Council, which is a subset of Chamber members that are up in the 29 North Corridor, combined with the Free Enterprise Forum, you know, those three groups have said they have concerns about grade-separated interchanges.
They've not really endorsed them, yeah.
And the Chamber, in its public policies, has said its next biggest priority after the Meadow Creek Parkway is a western bypass around Charlottesville.
Interesting.
So they would rather see the dollars spent over there. VDOT is saying, we don't have, one, we don't have dollars. Two, if we had them, we can't put them in both places. So three, if we're only going to put them in one place, let's invest in 29 because it has to be fixed anyway.
And in all fairness to them, they've never come forward and said, we love traffic. We want cars to go slow. It's good for business. I'm sort of
correct
that making a caricature of that, but because that's the end result.
Yeah. No, people have told me that, you know, on the side, so to speak.
Yeah.
That if that was a consequence, you know, this is one major developer in that corridor said, you know what, if that's what happens, it could be good for business.
Right.
I don't know if that's representative of other business views. I kind of doubt that it is.
Chris, let me ask you, are you for the grade separated interchange on the Route 29 or not?
Oh, definitely. You know, I paid some attention years ago more to the Western Bypass, and that just seemed like such a ridiculous thing. When you set aside all this area around the reservoir specifically so that, you know, to prevent erosion and all the other things associated with clean drinking water, and then some group comes in and says, hey, look at all this open area. It'd be a great place for a bypass. So I'm glad that hopefully that is off the table. But I don't, as you said earlier, I don't see how you can fix 29 without these grade interchanges. So I'm for it.
The other thing it would do is allow pedestrians more easily to cross 29 and bicyclists. You know, in the bridges over 29, you would have accommodations.
You'd have some nice pedestrian thoroughfares getting from, you know, one side to the other, which right. We really don't have now. It's sort of...
Again, the fear of businesses is it will be harder to find or get to them. The businesses on the corners will directly be impacted. Of course, they'll be compensated for any land that has to be taken away. But if they have to move or if they have to move to a location that's less visible, you know, a business is going to be concerned about that.
Yeah.
Other experts have come...
And that is understandable.
Yeah. Other experts have come to town and said, you know what? If you make 29 work better, if you make the parallel roads, Berkmar and Hillsdale work better, then everybody in the community will be able to get to more businesses more easily.
Yeah.
And it could make everyone a better off as a result.
Chris, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Yeah, absolutely. Take care. And speaking of Hillsdale, you notice there's a lot of stuff going on up there next to the Kmart. They're building that new Whole Foods.
That's
what's
right.
going on?
Yeah. The new Whole Foods is coming up on hydraulic. They're starting Hillsdale Drive Extended right there. And they'll be moving the traffic light down from the Kmart-Kroger interchange down to in front of the new Whole Foods.
Interesting. So there won't be a light there, or there's going to be another light?
The plan is to eliminate the existing light.
And move it down to that other entrance to sort of like the back of the Kroger.
Correct.
Where the pharmacy window is.
Correct.
There you go. So what else is going on? We got a couple minutes.
Big news on the Economic Development Action Plan in the county. That's something we've talked about. And I think some of the supervisors that supported Mr. Boyd's action plan were hoping that June was going to be the month where they could get this approved and get staff working on it. I think staff would say they are working on it already, but there was some pushback from the community, came to a public hearing at their meeting the first week of June, and they decided to schedule some roundtables to get more input from other groups, like those supporting the environmental causes here in town and the education folks. And so that's going to be coming up. There are going to be two roundtables. One is June 23rd at 5 o'clock in the county office building. The other is July 1st at 1 p.m. in the county office building. With that feedback, then, they will have a final public hearing and action in mid-July. So that's what's happening with the action plan. It did not get quickly approved as some thought it would, and now they're taking more public input. So there's an opportunity for people to weigh in.
There you go. You can learn more about all of that online at SeavilleTomorrow.org. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Coy.
And congratulations to the girls' Western Albemarle lacrosse team, state champions.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.